Well, hello, we're back in Ephesians chapter 4. As we started there last week, we're looking at the home, a little mini series on the home. And so we started to talk about communication, and that is important in any relationships that you have, first with your Savior, then with other people. And so we started last week to look at verse 25 of Ephesians 4. Where it says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Why? Because we are members one of another. And I said why, because sometimes we do in our hearts ask ourselves that question. Why should I tell the truth here? Because it may make things worse. And God says, because you can't see as far as I can. It's going to make things worse when you're not truth-telling. Verse 26 is, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And so the points we looked at, there are 4 points in this section of scripture about communication. The first point is being honest in our communication is always the best and right thing. And being current, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Well, now we come to verse 28, and he says this, and it seems peculiar at first, but it makes a lot of sense. Keep in mind, this little paragraph is dealing a lot with communication. And so he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. What's he saying in verses 28 through 30? The third point. When you're communicating, attack the problem, not the person. Because words which tear down are always going to hinder growth. They're always going to impede progress in a relationship. And they're going to make wanting to fix the problem not the goal. Instead, it's going to be a counterattack, a refusal to work on the problem. And it also means I will only get shouted down or insulted, because if you put out corrupt communication to somebody, it's very easy for them to emotionally react and counterattack and just exacerbate the problem. So, do you cut down others with your words? Immediately, we'd want to say no, because no one wants to admit to that. But at times, we're guilty of it. And when we do that, such words, they bypass the issue to be solved, and they make the problem snowball. When we resort to personal attacks, what we're doing is we're building up a mountain, and we're losing sight of the molehill. So we can easily get off track and of what we need to fix in our emotions, rather than truth will then rule our heart. I'll tell you, I see a lot of this happening in the current hysteria in our nation with the virus, with riots. The reaction to the problem is usually emotion. Amongst our leaders, politically, medically, and is not truth. They end up attacking the person, not the problem. And so he's counseling us here to attack the problem and not the person. Now, why does he say, it seems to introduce a different subject, and in one respect, yes, it's needed, and we can take it at face value. But if you keep verse 28 in its context, where he's been talking about for a few verses before that, communication, but if you go back to the 24th verse, he's talking about put on the new man, which is created, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He's counseling us to be different, to be holy, to be Christ-like. And certainly we shouldn't be thieves. We shouldn't be guilty of stealing in any shape or form. We can, in a conversation, steal by not properly listening, interjecting because of our pride, something we want to say and cut somebody off in the conversation, and stealing their thought, stealing what they're trying to get out. But he says, let him that stole steal no more. So when there is a problem between two individuals, don't steal the solution from the other person by trash talking. And that's literally what he's talking about in verse 29. Let no trash talk. Now, it's translated corrupt communication, but the Greek is very graphic here, and it says, let no trash talk proceed out of your mouth. And realize something, that when we're doing this, sin not only will hurt the person to whom you're talking, but it's interesting that he places this in the passage too. You're going to hurt God. For in verse 30, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Greek reads literally here, stop grieving the Spirit of God. Can a believer in Jesus Christ, let me introduce something here that's important. Can a believer in Jesus Christ lose their salvation? There are some that think so, but I think this verse is one good evidence that that is not the case. Remember to whom Christ or Paul is writing these words. He's writing to believers in the churches at Ephesus. They're already saved, but they're guilty of something. They're guilty of causing pain to the actual Spirit of God. That's the idea of grieve there, causing great pain to the Spirit of God. They're sinning. But he says, stop doing this. Christians are capable of sinning. We still have our sin nature. And then he says in the end of verse 30, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. People in the first century Roman Empire understood what the term sealed meant. And it carries over even into our day. If a businessman was traveling to another city, or even if he was purchasing something in his own town, he may not have had the full amount of money to purchase this and take it with him. So what he would do is he would offer a down payment, and the owner of what he was purchasing would take a seal, whether it was wax or some other substance. He would take some type of a seal and he would put that on the property of the person from whom he was selling this to, and it would be marked as his. We're holding it for him until he can come back and get it. When you get saved, you're sealed. The Bible talks about this in other passages. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. He is our down payment given to us. And we know certain evidences of if we're truly born again. Our desires are more spiritual. Our appetites are more spiritual. Goals are more spiritual. That's part of the down payment of the Holy Spirit. But he hasn't come back for you yet, has he? When he returns at the rapture, he will bring us back and we will have our glorified bodies. The day of redemption will have been fulfilled. So he is saying here that these believers, though they were guilty of sinning with their mouths and hurting God and others, nonetheless, they were still God's property. They were still his children, and so are we. But we still need to be corrected by the Spirit of God when we are sinning with our mouth, which happens quite a bit, doesn't it? So we've got to realize that such sin hurts God. Don't attack the person of God either. The opposite is to be encouraging, is to speak well of, is to be positive with our speech, is to communicate in love, speaking the truth in love, he says back in verse 15, and that promotes growth in your home and in your relationships. Use words then that are solution oriented, encouraging words. Don't demean ever or insult with your words. Take personal responsibility for your own sin. When you know you have, you get into an argument with somebody and you know that they're right and you have been wrong, then let go of the pride, be humble, take ownership for your sin, repent, and where need be, majoring on doing the right thing and not attacking the person, but attacking the real problem will go a long way in building a good relationship. Here's the last one. Act, don't react. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Everything in verse 31 is reactive, and these are our natural tendencies. The opposite is to act right. Verse 32, learn those things. Be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving in your words. It's impossible to have a conflict when one person refuses to react. You have a trial. Ask yourself, am I acting right? Am I doing all I know God wants me to be doing? Be a thermostat, not a thermometer. You spoke cold to me. I'm going to speak cold to you. No. A thermometer is the temperature is what's outside me. No, you let Christ set the tone. You set the temperature then and the climate based on him. You diffuse verbal spats by acting Christ-like, not reacting to someone else's sin. You know, let's say the wife gets up and she makes a big breakfast and he rushes out the door and he doesn't eat. He doesn't even acknowledge the hard work she's put in, the love she's extended by all this. And she fumes all day. And when he comes home, there's no clue that she's upset. He's totally oblivious. He goes in for the kiss, and he's met with a cold shoulder. So then he gets mad. And before you know it, the genealogies come out. You're just like your mother. You're just like your father. The problem is, these two are reacting. They're not acting Christ-like. So how has God worked on you through this text of Scripture? Know the rules and go by them and let God bless your home. When you communicate, be honest, be current, attack the problem, not the person, act, don't react.